Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. This is the second in a two-part lesson on how to keep our children faithful. We'll not attempt to review the things that we brought in the first lesson. We hope that you had the opportunity to hear it because there are matters there that are essential in this matter of properly upbringing of children. But we proceed to other things that have to be done on the part of the parent to keep their children faithful. In Matthew 6 and verse 33, Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." We as parents must set the right priorities before our young so they will know what matters most. Unfortunately, not every child learns the proper priorities from the home. The church must come before self, and before the world, and before pleasure, before sports and friends. Family must come before peers. Morality is more important than lust. Honesty is to be preferred before gain. Worship takes priority over trips and visits and vacations. School lessons are important, but they're not as important as Bible lessons. Conviction surpasses convenience. What do you expect of them when they have been taught at home, shown time and time again that the things that God wants for them is of less concern than other things? Or they may get mixed signals. For instance, one child asks his mother, "Why do they always cancel church when we have company?" Obviously, that home was not putting the priorities in order. And children glory to see their parents participating in worship services and teaching classes and helping in the overall work of the church. Without a word, they learn what matters to their parents, and then it matters to them. I can never forget that my mother prepared the Lord's table, making the bread, being involved in the work and the worship of the church. I recall as a small boy when the little church where I attended replaced the hand-fed coal stove in the basement with an automatic stoker feed. But one cold Saturday, that thing went out. Well, I went with my dad and Brother Bullington, the janitor, to fix it for Sunday. I was a big help because I held the flashlight. But I also learned what was of interest and concern to my dad and Brother Bullington. It was the church and its welfare. Friend, when parents participate in the welfare of the church, that stays with the child. And you know the hours of worship, and they will soon come to know them. Do they know that their family will always respect those hours of worship? You know, you should not have to decide each time whether you're going to worship. That ought to already be decided. You don't decide each day whether school matters or whether work matters. Why should it ever be questioned whether worship matters and that you're going to attend? And good habits can be learned just like bad habits. It may be difficult, especially for young parents, to gather up their children, to get them ready, to wrestle with them during services. But friend, believe me, it pays dividends in the long run. They learn to respect things holy, and they pick up far more than we ever imagined. Some have been heard to complain, "My parents made me go when I was young, and now I don't go to the services of the church." Well, their parents probably made them wash their faces and brush their teeth and eat their food, but they still do it. Along with making them go, however, teach them that it is not merely a duty and an obligation, which it is, but a privilege to show God appreciation for His goodness toward them. Develop within them a loving attitude for serving God, making it more than just a demand, and He does demand it, but it is a blessing, and we become more like that which we worship. Teach them to want to become more and more like God in their ways. That will help keep them faithful. And do you know who their friends are? One area of concern to every responsible parent is the company their children keep. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33 in the American Standard Version reads, Evil companions corrupt good morals. Teach them to make friends of God's children. Now I know, sometimes we are disappointed even with children they meet at church. But let us learn. What our children do and where they go is not just our business. When it influences other children, it becomes other people's business as well, and vice versa. Every parent ought to keep his children, so that they will be a good influence on other children, and that their children will assist all the children they know, especially the children of Christian families, to keep right. You know, peer pressure is very important. And how sad when young people from church are found saying and doing things contrary to Christianity, and thereby being a bad influence on other Christian young people. But the point is, it is the parents' work to make sure such as that does not happen. Send them to good Christian camps in the summer. Provide for Christian association with activities centered around the church. And make your home a place where their friends are welcome. Watch out for their school events and their books, even their teachers and the subjects that are being studied. Keep tab on their progress. Supervise their entertainment, about television particularly. Why invite profanity and immorality and vulgarity and degeneracy into your own living room? Don't you care what your children absorb? I once received a call from a person who had moved into the community who asked if we at the church had a youth director, a director to direct trips to Six Flags and to play games and to have parties. I told him that we had about 100 such directors, but we called them parents. Friend, to entertain and provide the fun and games for the children is not the work of the church. That's the work of the home. And parents must be about the father's business in attending to their homework. And so many times today, children are being guided by people other than their own parents. I want to say to all parents, you cannot shift that duty to other people, even though others may help you. And be careful how you criticize the church. Now, we want our children to love the church, and this is a part of staying faithful. But some never find anything right with the church. There is the divine side of the church that never needs improvement because God's part of it is perfect. There will always be shortfalls in the behavior of members because we are not a perfect people, but we're people that keep trying. But some complain and grumble and find fault and criticize most everything and everybody about the church, and then they wonder why their children have so little respect for it. The elders don't handle this right, the preacher is dry and dull, the song leader gets the songs too high, too low, he's too loud, too soft, makes poor selections, the members are a bunch of hypocrites, the most unfriendly people in town, pick, 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 pick. One Sunday, a family had told the preacher they were coming home to dinner, and the little boy told the preacher that he knew what they were having for dinner. And he told the preacher that they were going to have buzzard, because he had heard his mother say that it was their time to have that old buzzard for dinner today. Well, just how will that child see the church as he grows up? As one boy said to his dad, "Dad, why don't you ask to preach next Sunday since you know so much how it ought to be done?" Oh, I know it's fashionable among some not only to find fault with the members, and that can always be found, but now they're finding fault with God's design of the church, finding fault with the worship services that God has authorized. Our services are called dull and boring, even they are according to God's pattern. You see, bashing the church has become the ministry of some. As my mother used to say, but little bears have big ears. And children hear such things, and they form attitudes accordingly. And when those things happen, and then we ask, why are they not impressed favorably with the church? I say to you again, be careful how you criticize the church. Now, troubles between members sometimes do arise. Now, that's not totally new.
And if such be the case with you, be extremely careful what you say about another member. Harsh words, cutting statements, accusations, it might mar the mind of your child if you display your anger and your vengeance. It has been known for children to see members point their fingers and shout in the face of each other, venting their anger when differences arise. I've seen this. I've heard this as a child. It puzzled me then. But we as parents must never compromise the truth if our children are going to be faithful. One thing in which I delight, everyone knew where my dad stood and why, and they knew he would stand. We learned that early at home. The truth is what counts. To sacrifice truth for unity and peace, friend, that's treason. How unwarranted it is for the home to undercut the church, or for the church to undercut the home. But this often does happen, especially in such matters as drinking alcoholic beverages, in the modern lascivious dance, the wearing of immodest clothing, and even teaching about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. The home and the church should present a united front in all of these matters. It creates conflict for the child, and it divides his loyalty if unity is not the case. But when error raises its ugly head, we as parents, if we expect our children to stand, we must stand for the truth, kindly but firmly. And we must be found on the Lord's side without compromise, fear, or favor. We must defend the gospel. And only in this way will our children learn that truth is not negotiable. Unity must be found on truth. Otherwise, we lose our reason to exist. Stand fast in the faith. That was the admonition given to the early Christians. That must be one of our watchwords. We cannot choose what may be the easy way or the most popular way. We must choose the way that is right. And when you do that, at least in that particular matter, you have done your part as a parent toward your child. And parents, be ready to give your children an answer. You know, children can ask more questions, but by them they learn. It is the work of parents to provide correct answers. And if you do not know the answer, do not try to pretend you do, because they will eventually see through you. When you do not know, just say so, but do not leave it there. Tell them that you will find the answer together with them. And do not leave them to others to provide the answers to questions they ask. You may not know what might be planted in their minds. It's your job first, anyway. You get answers to their questions. They have the right to ask, and you have the task to answer. And some children's questions are really puzzling, such as when one of our children asked his mother, "Why did God make poison ivy?" Well, you try to handle that one. And you have to postpone sometimes the answer to some questions, such as a six-year-old asking when he can be baptized. You may have heard of a father who told his boy that he wanted to talk to him about where babies came from, and the boy answered, "All right, Dad, what do you want to know?" Well, to be able to answer their questions about the soul, about God, about the church, about God's truth, the gospel, you must study. Study for your own sake, but for their sake as well. Provide for them sound literature to read and encourage them to study. Have good source material in the home available to them. But friend, we cannot overestimate the value of a strong heritage where home is haven, where home is a place of security and love. Home is where it's always safe, regardless of what befalls them at school, at church, in the world, on the field. They know that home is the place to go. One of the greatest gifts that parents can give children is that their children know their parents love each other, that they are faithful to each other, and that the prime goal of marriage and the home is that every member goes to heaven. Some children do not know how a home ought to be. never having been in one that is operated as God would have it to be operated. Children deserve their mother's time. And even though society draws mothers from the home and from their children, nothing and nobody provides the strength and the security and the care for children like a godly mother. Now, sometimes necessity calls the mother from the home, but make sure it is because of need, dear friend, and not because of greed. Faithful children, a good parent-child relationship, that's worth more than all the material gain this world affords. But sadly, not all children respond to even this serious approach to their rearing. But usually, such children will never turn against their parents, nor turn against what their parents stood for. But they will uphold the same eternal and fundamental principles that they learned at home. It is sometimes said that the church is losing so many of her young people. Well, it is true that many young people forsake the church. But the loss is not because of the church, but because of the failure in the home. As goes the home, so goes everything, including the church. The church does suffer loss, however. And we shall not succeed without the cooperation of our children, nor shall we succeed if we try to do our part without God. If we be in Christ, we have the privilege and the avenue of prayer. We need God's help, and He is a help. We are assured of God's providence. We should pray for our children. Never a day passes that I do not take the name of every one of my children and grandchildren before the throne of Almighty God, beseeching Him to watch over them, to protect them by His providence, asking that they might always be faithful. This is one of the most important things I think I can do on their behalf. Prayer is our way to communicate with God, and God hears, and God will answer according to that which is best for us. And even our prayers must be according to His will, and our expectation of answers cannot be contrary to His will. But I suggest to you, friend, when we do these things that I've tried to bring out in these two lessons, and other things can possibly be mentioned, but doing them persistently and patiently, consistently and faithfully, we will know the reward of faithful children. And then we will have possibly the greatest blessing that we can have in this life, and be able to say along with John, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.